The G8 and G20 summits wrapped up in Huntsville and Toronto over the weekend amidst big spending promises from the leaders and the arrests of over 600 protesters. FSRN's Aaron Lakoff was in the streets of Toronto and files this report.
Many were calling the city Fortress Toronto, a pun to describe Canada's largest city with a $1.2 billion security makeover. More than 19,000 police were out on the streets during the weekend's demonstrations, making the G20 also the largest security maneuver in Canadian history. The police also had a wide arsenal of weapons with them, including long-range acoustic devices, or sound cannons. However, on Friday at the Ontario Superior Court in Toronto, a ruling was made to limit the police use of this weapon due to concerns over hearing damage. The theme of the summit was recovery from the financial crisis and sustainable growth. As always, issues facing the African continent made up a large part of the meeting's agendas, including the exploitation of natural resources and development in the most vulnerable states. One of the few non-G20 African leaders present at the Toronto summit was Ethiopian Prime Minister Meles Zenawi. Members of Toronto's Ethiopian community were out at Saturday's demonstration to highlight Zenawi's alleged human rights abuses against people of the Ogaden region. This is Kitaba Magarsha, a Canadian of Ethiopian descent, speaking at Saturday's demonstration at Queen's Park.
Our tax money is giving service to a murderer who was not supposed to be here. He is invited by, our Prime Minister, and we are saying no to this.
The demonstration drew approximately 10,000 people and was organized by the Canadian Labour Congress, environmental NGOs, and grassroots activist groups. The day before, an anti-poverty demonstration drew a large number of people with disabilities. Griffin Epstein is with the group DAM 2025, a disability rights group.
First of all, the leaders of the G20 are responsible for all of the kind of brutal neoliberal capitalist policies that are keeping disabled people at the margins of society and keeping us kind of policed out and priced out and discriminated against and surveilled. And also the $1 billion that was spent on hosting the G20 here could have been put into the pockets of poor people who are struggling to survive and making choices every day as to whether they're going to eat or use transit or be able to be housed.
According to the Toronto Star, G8 leaders meeting in Huntsville made a pledge of $5 billion towards maternal and child health. However, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper has been slammed by critics over the last few weeks due to the fact that he doesn't want that money going towards abortion programs overseas. Feminist organizations charge that these restrictions Harper placed on the funding reflect the intentions of his cabinet to recriminalize abortion in Canada. Dara Titel is with Canadians for Choice, and we asked her why she was out protesting the G20.
Mostly for reproductive justice. I think that this is not something to be messed around with. It's key to women being free and safe inside of a society, and when women are free and safe inside of a society, the society is healthier in general.
On Saturday morning at the G8 gathering, U.S. President Barack Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron held a sideline meeting on the future of the war in Afghanistan. The two discussed ending corruption and improving the electoral system in the country. Meanwhile, two Canadian soldiers, Master Corporal Crystal Giesbrecht and Private Andrew Miller, were killed on Saturday in Afghanistan when their vehicle hit an explosive device near Kandahar City. That brings the death toll of Canadian soldiers killed in Afghanistan to 150, and the total NATO military death toll to nearly 1,900, according to iCasualties.org. Tens of thousands of civilians have also been killed since the war began. In 2009 alone, the death toll for Afghan civilians was more than 1,400, according to the Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission. Saturday's demonstration was demanding the abolition of the G8 and G20. Riots erupted as hundreds of demonstrators took to Toronto's financial district, with windows of banks and chain stores being smashed and at least three police cars burnt. The day ended with police preventing people from returning to Queen's Park, which was the city's official designated protest area. On Sunday morning, a demonstration was planned outside the jail where those arrested were being detained. According to the Toronto Community Mobilization Network, activist groups also planned prayer vigils, autonomous direct actions, and a bike block demonstration. Aaron Lakoff, FSRN, Toronto.